Take your Bibles and go to Acts chapter 1, if you would. On Wednesday night, we read through Matthew chapter 27 and the story. And I'm trying to be careful not to just say story. I read an article just recently about how so many of our kids are growing up hearing Bible stories, and I just said it, so I'm explaining myself. But they hear so many other stories. They hear made-up stories. They hear fairy tale stories. And what I'm trying to do is not say Bible story so often, because it's not a story. I mean, it's a story we tell, I understand that, but it's different than all the other stories. So, we read the account of the crucifixion on Wednesday night. And as I was just planning on Wednesday night just to read through that, because it was, you know, it's the week before Easter, and it's the week that we would remember and memorialize Jesus going to the cross and Jesus dying. But I'm telling you, I had the hardest time stopping right there at the end of Matthew chapter 27 without going to Matthew chapter 28. Leaving Jesus in the tomb until Sunday just didn't seem right. I know that's really what happened, but the very next verse was about the Mary Magdalene and the others going to the tomb and seeing that it's open. And what an amazing story that was. I don't like just leaving it there. Well, this morning we preached about the resurrection. What a great job our choir did. Thank you, choir, for singing. Miss Pam, thank you for playing the piano, and Gina, the viola. Did I say the right instrument? Okay. Thank you for being part of that. All the work that you put into that, thank you. Jesus saves, and you took us how the Lamb came to Bethlehem and all the way through to His death, the burial, and the resurrection. And what an awesome story that was, but it's still not done. Because there's more. Acts chapter 1. I want to preach a message tonight that you've probably heard just about every part of this message tonight. Kind of like you've already heard just about every part of the resurrection message, or you've probably heard just about every part of the crucifixion message. But I want to preach a message about the return of Jesus Christ tonight. Because the death, the burial, and the resurrection is the gospel, and those are in the past. But there's still something we can look forward to. We sang the song, One Day When Heaven Was Filled With His Praises. Is there five verses in that song, Brother Reed? The first four verses of that song were in the past. But there's one more verse, and one day the trumpet will sound for His coming, and the rapture will happen, the return of Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 1, let's just start with verse number 1. We'll read through verse 11. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began, both to do and to teach, until the day in which He was taken up, after that He, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom He had chosen, to whom also He showed Himself alive. Here's the resurrection. After His passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith He, ye have heard of Me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of Him, saying, Lord, wilt Thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And He said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in His own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto Me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when He had spoken these things, while they beheld, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. Stop there for just a moment. He's given them instructions. He said, you've seen Me alive, and now I want you to wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and you're going to get power, and you're going to be witnesses, and I want you to be witnesses here, and I want you to be witnesses around the world, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. He said that, and then He was taken up. A cloud received Him out of their sight. That's all the details we have about that. I've thought so many times, I wish I was there. Have you ever thought that in the Bible as you read through a passage, you think, I wish I was there for that. I would have loved to see that. Was it fast? Was it slow? Like in a passion play in Branson or, you know, something like that? What was it like? The Bible says that he spoke the words and they were watching and he was taken up, a cloud received him out of their sight. Now, you've got to just picture yourself being there for just a minute. We're getting to the message, but I want to move us back there for a minute. There were the apostles, 11, that were still there. There were other disciples around, I imagine. He gave them these instructions. I want you to stay in Jerusalem, and it's not going to be long. The Holy Ghost is going to come on you. You're going to have power. And then I want you to reach the world with the gospel. And it wasn't long after that, he was just gone. And here's Peter looking at Paul, and James looking at John, and Matthew and Mark, and just looking at each other. Can you imagine just being there? Awkward. What do we do first? He's our leader. He's the Messiah. He's the Christ. They asked him, are you setting up your kingdom now? Is now the time? They thought that's what they were there for. That's what he was there for. And he's gone. And in verse 10, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven. Have you ever seen a balloon? A kid loses a balloon. All right. It's worth the show just for a kid to lose a balloon because they cry and scream. Okay, so you didn't like that. Have you ever seen a balloon, though? I was working with the teens, and we were in Texas there. And we rented a helium, one of those helium canisters, because we were filling up balloons for some type of event or something like that. The event was over, but we still had a helium canister. And we thought, what's the biggest thing we can fill up? And we got a big 55-gallon trash bag. We weren't too far from DFW. I hope we didn't cause any problems with the airplanes landing. But we filled up a 55-gallon trash bag with helium as full as we could get it, tied it off, and let it go. And it went up into the sky, and we watched it, and we watched it, and we watched it. And it was big until it became a little bitty dot, and finally you just couldn't see it anymore. Okay, the disciples. The Bible says, while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, can you imagine them just looking? The clouds received him, and they're just looking up, and the Bible says, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. If you could look at this from the outside, I wonder if it was like this. They're all looking up. They're just kind of looking up. And suddenly there's two other men with them looking up. I don't know if this is the way it happened, but it just makes sense. And then they look down at each other, and there's two more people there. And these are these angels, these two men, the Bible says, stood by them in white apparel, which also said, now, Jesus had just said these things. Now they're going to say something. Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, now here it is, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. The return of Jesus Christ. He came, he lived, he suffered, he bled, he died, he was buried, he rose again. He ascended into heaven, but his promise is that he will return. And that's what the message is about tonight. Not so much to convince you that he's coming back, but to remind you that he's coming back. We've spent the last 7 weeks, we've spent most of the time preaching messages about salvation and trying to convince somebody from the Bible they need a Savior. People have gotten saved. Tonight, this message is for Christians. We've celebrated the resurrection. We've memorialized the cross. But tonight I want to remind you, Jesus is coming back. Go to Revelation chapter 1, if you would. Revelation chapter 1. I've got a lot of verses that I want to give you tonight. We may not have time to turn to all of them, but I do want you to see as many of them as you can. I'll try to give you the reference and give you a little time to get there. Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. I'm sorry, chapter 1, verse 1, we'll read through verse 8. I'll start, you just jump right in when you find it. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto the servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you, and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. All those verses were just describing Jesus. Now verse 7, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. And this is Jesus speaking. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was, and look at this, and which is to come, the Almighty. What a thought. The most anticipated event since Jesus ascended into heaven has been his return to earth. So many of the hymns we sing are about Jesus returning or us going to meet him. We sang one day when heaven was filled with his praises. We sing when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more. We sing, oh, fly away, oh, glory, oh, fly away. And so many songs that we sing are about Jesus coming back for us or us going to meet him. All of history since the Garden of Eden has been about God redeeming man, God reestablishing man's broken relationship with him, God renewing the environment where man can fellowship unhindered again with God. When Jesus came the first time, those who realized who Jesus was expected him to set up his kingdom right then and right there. Then they were surprised. I think the disciples were surprised when he ascended into heaven instead of setting up his kingdom. They were surprised when he went up into Jerusalem to be crucified instead of setting up his kingdom. They were surprised when they allowed himself to be arrested. He allowed himself to be arrested, falsely accused, and crucified. It wasn't until after the resurrection, as you read through the Gospels, you read, it wasn't until after the resurrection that the disciples began to recognize the scriptures that Jesus prophesied that he was going to be the sacrifice to pay for all sins. They were just as surprised when right in the middle of teaching this powerful lesson about reaching the world with the gospel, Jesus ascends up into heaven. Now, I know the Bible doesn't say they were surprised, but they were standing there. We just read it. And they were looking up into heaven and wondering, what is going on? But Jesus did not leave the earth without a promise to return to earth. And I want to give you some of the thoughts about his return. I've got three thoughts, a lot of verses, and I'm going to try to give them to you just real quick. First of all is the promise of his return. The promise of his return. He will return. The Bible leaves no questions about whether Jesus Christ will return or not. I mentioned this in Sunday school this morning. If he kept the promise of rising from the dead, raising himself from the dead, he made a promise he was going to do it, and then he did it. If he kept that promise, any other promise that he keeps, we can be guaranteed he can keep it. If that wasn't too hard for him, nothing is going to be too hard for him. He raised other people from the dead. He raised Lazarus from the dead. He raised up the widow of Cain's son from, we don't ever have his name, raised him from the dead. Other people were raised from the dead. He healed so many people, and we see God's power all through that. But when he raised himself from the dead, if he did that, you can trust the promise of his return. And the Bible leaves no questions whether he's going to return or not. Let me give you some verses. Matthew 25, verse 31, the Bible says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Turn to John chapter 14. There's three verses here. I want you to see this. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. This is one of the passages that I think I was in 11th grade and we had a Bible quiz. And this is one of the ones that they made us memorize. I'm glad that they, whoever the they was at the time, made us memorize verses in the Bible. Because I still remember some of these. And if I don't get them exactly right, they're still very familiar. I love these verses. John chapter 14, verse 1, this is Jesus talking. He says, let not your heart be troubled. There was plenty to be troubled about. He said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Here's the promise. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. The promise of his return, I will come again. Revelation 1:7, we just read it a moment ago. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. He's coming. Behold, he cometh with clouds. Daniel. Go to Daniel. I want you to see this. Even in the Old Testament. This is interesting. You don't hear, as far as I can remember, the phrase Son of Man very often in the Old Testament. You hear it in the New Testament quite a bit. We know that it's talking about Jesus, but in Daniel chapter 7, we have this phrase, and this is hundreds of years before Jesus came, and this is prophecy written by Daniel, most likely in Babylon or in the area we would call Iran, ancient Persia, as he was there. Daniel chapter 7, look at verse number 13. This is a promise of his return. This is not Jesus personally there promising this to disciples like in the first two or in the letter to the churches in Revelation, but this is God giving this promise to a prophet. Daniel chapter 7, verse 13. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Then you've got Jude. I think Jude's the shortest book of the Bible. It's either Jude or Obadiah. One of those, they both just have one chapter in them. Jude chapter 1, verse 14. If you find Revelation, it's just right before that. I want to give you just a minute to find this. Jude chapter 1, verse 14. Okay, minute's up. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these. We don't have a whole lot of Enoch's prophecies written in the Bible, but here's Jude under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost telling us what he prophesied. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, here's what he said, here's the promise. Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. We have a promise that Jesus will come back. There's more promises in the Bible. We don't have time to look at them. He will return. He is coming back. He will return, and he will return just like he left. The angels were there. Jesus had spoken unto the disciples and the apostles, and he ascended into heaven. The angels appeared, and they said, in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven, he's going to come back. He's not coming the same way he came last time, but he is coming back. Last time, he came to die, but this time he's coming to establish his kingdom. Now, I want you to think about this. We celebrated the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I know it sounds strange to say we celebrated the death of anybody. But when it comes to Jesus Christ, without his death, without him shedding his blood on the cross, we would not have salvation. So we celebrate the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But next time he comes, it's going to be different. It will be a physical return. It will be a bodily return. I believe that's what the angels meant in that case. But there's going to be some differences. Last time he came in poverty, but this time he's coming as the ruler of the world. Last time he came as an unknown carpenter from Galilee, but this time he's coming as the most well-known person the world has ever known. Last time he spent his life in a sinful world, but this time he's coming to judge sin and remove it forever. Last time he came as a helpless baby in a manger, but this time he's coming as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The price for sin has already been paid. The prophecies of a suffering sacrifice have already been fulfilled. Every prophecy concerning the birth of the Messiah has already been fulfilled. Every prophecy concerning the childhood of the Messiah has already been fulfilled. Every prophecy concerning the crucifixion was fulfilled exactly. And every prophecy concerning the resurrection of the Messiah has already been fulfilled. The price for sin has been paid. Everything is done. That last time, Jesus was mocked. But this time, he'll be worshipped. Last time, Jesus spent 3.5 years proving who he was, but this time, the entire world will know who he is. Last time, Jesus hid his glory under the mask of flesh, but this time, the Bible says, we shall see him as he is. 1 John 3:2 says it, beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. What a promise. The promise of the return of our Savior. It's not over. He's not done dealing with humanity. What he's doing on this earth isn't done. He is coming back. What a promise that is. And I want you to consider the place of his return. The place of his return. First, you got to understand it's going to happen in two parts. Let me give you some verses because I want to remind you about this. The first part, the Bible says, is in the clouds. It's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. If you turn there, there's two chapters that really teach a lot about what we call the rapture. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is sometimes called the rapture chapter. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, also a rapture chapter in the clouds. Look at this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself, that just right there, listen, he's coming himself. It's going to be him personally. I think I wrote it in my notes a little bit later. If I repeat myself, please forgive me. I'm excited about this. He's coming himself. He's not sending somebody else to do this job for him. It's not going to be Moses. I think it'd be cool to meet Moses. It's not going to be Elijah. I think it'd be awesome to meet Elijah. But he's not sending either one of them. He is sending, well, he's coming himself. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. The first part of Christ's return is most often called the rapture. No man knows when it'll happen. When Jesus comes to rapture those who've trusted him as their Savior, he's going to bring, the Bible says, bring believers who've already died with him. What a day that's going to be when we see our Savior and we see our loved ones and we meet them together in the clouds. And the Bible says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. What a day. Jesus Christ himself will descend from heaven. There'll be a loud shout and the sound of the trumpet. In Revelation 4:1, John saw heaven open and he heard a voice saying, come up hither, maybe something like that. Christians who have died will be reunited with their bodies that come out of the grave. They'll be given a resurrection body that will never feel pain, sickness, or death ever again. And Christians who are alive will be caught up to where Jesus is waiting in the clouds. Christians will be instantly changed from a mortal body. We see that in 1 Corinthians 15, to an immortal body. And from then on, we will never be separated from the Lord again, ever. The Bible says, I think we'll look at it later. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. The first part of his returns in the clouds. The second part is on the Mount of Olives. Find Zechariah. I say Zechariah. It's Z-E-C-H. It's Zechariah. I say Zechariah. Anybody else? Zechariah? You're supposed to be finding it, all right? Quit, you know, voting and just find it. Zechariah is what we're going for, all right? Zechariah chapter 14. Let's see. I usually start, if to find Zechariah, I've got to go back to Isaiah or so and just start saying the books of the Bible in order. And I get to about Zephaniah. Let's see, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. Second from the last book of the Old Testament. Did you find it? I want you to see this. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 3. The second part of his return is on the Mount of Olives. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. I'm not going to get into all the details of what's going on there, because I don't understand all the details of what's going on there. But the Bible says he's going to touch down, his feet will touch on the Mount of Olives. The Mount of Olives is east of Jerusalem. The Bible says when he touches his feet on the Mount of Olives, there's going to be a huge division, a huge earthquake that separates, and the way that it sounds like to me, and other people have studied this a whole lot more, but the way it sounds like is Jerusalem is going to be split right in half. The Mount of Olives is on the east side, and this big valley is going to be going east to west, so it sounds like Jerusalem will be split right there in half. The second part of Christ's return is most often called the second coming. This is when Jesus actually walks on the earth again, and I believe that after the tribulation, Jesus will personally set up his kingdom in Jerusalem. You've got the promise of his return. He is definitely coming back. He said he will. Listen to this, just kind of going back for a moment. If every single prophecy all the way from the beginning of time was fulfilled all the way up to the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ, if every single one of those was kept exactly like it says, to the point where Daniel prophesied the time when the Messiah would come, and the people looked and they knew that that was the time for the Messiah to come. If everyone was kept so perfectly, we can trust that this last big prophecy, there's a whole bunch of prophecies wrapped up in that big ball of last big prophecy right there, but this last big prophecy of the second coming of Christ will will happen. The promise of his return, the place of his return. And then last, the person of his return. We're almost done tonight. Go to Acts chapter 1, verse 11 again. This is where we started. Then we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And then one more place after that. Can you hang in there with me? All right. Acts chapter 1, the person of his return. I already let the cat out of the bag just a little bit. It's not going to be Moses. It's not going to be Elijah. It's not going to be Enoch. Enoch was an awesome guy. I can't wait to get to heaven and find out more about Enoch. He wrote prophecies or spoke prophecies that only a couple of them we have record of. But wow, what amazing. But it's not going to even be him. Acts chapter 1, verse 11, the Bible says this, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come. Jesus will return in person. It won't be an angel standing in for him. It won't be one of the apostles or the Old Testament prophets. Jesus will personally return, first for us, then with us. What an amazing thought this is. And what does that mean to us? I believe it means he cares for us personally. A personal rapture, a personal resurrection. It means he rose from the dead to never die again. It means he really did win the victory over death. And this is the time to go to 1 Corinthians 15. What a powerful passage. Jesus really did win that victory. He is coming back personally. We will see him, the Bible says, and we will realize it when we see him. Now, we know it now because of faith. But faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I serve a risen Savior, right? He's in the world today, and we can go on with the rest of the song. I know that he's living no matter what men, I think I added a word, no matter what men may say. I'm not sure how that goes, brother. You have to fix that one for me later, all right? Haven't seen him, but we know that he's there, and we know he's coming back. But one day when we see him, our faith shall be made sight. 1 Corinthians 15, look at verse 55. He really did win the victory over death. 1 Corinthians 15, 55. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This return will be personal. It will be Jesus Christ himself, who won the victory over death of the grave. It will be him coming back. Now go to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. We are just about done. Revelation 19 and verse number 11. I'll turn there myself. I want to find it. I love reading through the last couple chapters of Revelation. It's a crescendo that builds and builds and builds and builds. Chapter 19, verse 11. And I saw heaven open. And behold, a white horse. Talk about the second coming of Christ and the fact that it's Jesus himself coming. I saw heaven open. And behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. And on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. Cross-reference back to John chapter 1, verse 1. We taught that in Sunday school this morning. Verse 14. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. I believe that's us. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of kings and Lord of lords. Jesus Christ will return personally to establish his kingdom. Jesus Christ will return personally to bring his people, that's us, with him. Jesus Christ will return personally to fight the battle against sin and wickedness. It's not over. Resurrection Sunday happened today. Easter Sunday happened today. What a great day it was, and celebrating the resurrection of Christ. But there's more. He's coming. He's coming back. We don't know when, but he's coming back. Two reasons for preaching this message. One is because today was Resurrection Sunday, and there's more to the story. I said it. There's more to the story, the gospel. But there's another reason for saying this. We live in a world that's very troubled. There's all kinds of things going on in our world. But listen, as Christians, there's no need to worry about it. Doesn't matter. Jesus said it. There's going to be wars and rumors of wars. Don't worry about it. It's going to happen. It's got to happen. We know it's going to happen. Just keep on serving God. Keep on doing what you're doing. Keep on sharing the gospel with people. Doesn't matter who bombs who or who's getting mad at who. We know that there's going to be a group of powers that come together and they're going to fight against everything that's righteous. They're going to fight against Jesus. We know that. And it's going to be Iran and Syria and Ethiopia and different. We know that's going to happen. That's not a big deal. Jesus Christ is, I said that wrong. It's a big deal, but it's not something to worry about. It's not something that a Christian needs to be concerned about because we know Jesus Christ is coming. It's a promise. We know where he's coming. We're going to meet him in the clouds. Then we're going to come back to the earth with him where he's going to rule and reign. And it's going to be Jesus Christ himself that returns. Father, thank you for letting us spend just a few moments in your word tonight. I'm not sure about everybody else, but I needed the reminder and I needed the encouragement that you are personally coming back to this earth to receive us unto yourself, to establish your kingdom, to rule and reign. And Lord, I think the most exciting part about that for me and maybe for others here is just getting to meet you, finally being able to see you, finally being able to get to know you better. So many promises wrapped up in this, but Lord, I pray that you would use this to encourage our hearts, help us to be able to live our lives for you.